You know, the perfect father, that's a big shoe to fill, right? We all have that desire, I think, in us as dads. We want to be the perfect father. From the day we find out that we're going to be a father, we want to be a perfect father, and that's our desire. And, you know, I want to say right now, I want to admit to you this morning that I'm not a perfect father. I'm not. And that may surprise some of you, but I strive to be a good father. That's where my heart is. I want to be a good father, but sometimes I say the wrong things. Come on. Sometimes I don't always do what my kids think is right, you know, for them, for their sake, in other words. But what's reassuring is that neither are you. You guys aren't good fathers. You aren't perfect fathers either, right? That reassures me that I'm not alone, right? And I don't say that to be mean or slam anybody, you know, because you guys are some pretty awesome dads out there. I see how you treat your kids, and you're just pretty awesome dads, and good role models. Some of you older, I will say this with no disrespect, some of you older fathers are good role models for the younger fathers to look up to, and that's important. And none of us are perfect fathers. We all make tons of mistakes as being fathers, but it's a goal for many of us is to be a good father or to be the perfect father. And some of us look at the secular experts like Dr. Phil and to become better fathers, or some of us look at Christian experts like maybe even James Dobson and to want to become a great father. But today we're going to look at one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. It's a passage that really, really reveals the perfect father, or what a perfect father should look like, because it focuses on the perfect father. And if you're a father, this verse will give you an idea of what it means to be a good father or a good dad, because it teaches us four ways our Heavenly Father relates to us. And the scripture I have this morning is John 3:16. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." What a great example of who a father is. And so, first of all, a father loves his children. A father loves his children. "For God so loved the world." You know, it's a fascinating fact that the moment that your child is born, you love them. In fact, you'll even love them before they're born, because some talk to their children through their wife's belly button sometimes. Am I alone with that? Huh? You talk to your kids before they're even born. I mean, was I the only guy that did that? I'm feeling weird here. Huh? Okay. The point is this. They haven't done anything to earn your love, but you love them anyway. Why? Because they're yours, and you'll continue to love them no matter what. Your children may disappoint you in many ways in your life, but that doesn't change the love that you have for them. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. The point is, they might anger you at times, I'm telling you, and you might want to sometimes feel like you just got to walk away and wonder if they're even yours, but you'll always love them. Amen? Sometimes you're like, I don't even know who this kid is, you know? But you still love them anyway. I know you moms can relate to this too. You know, I've never met a father who said, I don't love my children. Even fathers who are not good fathers, even mean and hateful and maybe not even part of their kids' lives, still in their heart have a love that's implanted there. for their kids. We don't always express it. Sometimes it's a guy thing. But sometimes guys have a tough time expressing their love in many ways. Really. I've heard men say, well, my wife knows I love her. I told her once when we got married. I've heard that before. I've said that, I think. You know, and we do the same thing with our children, except that we don't always get those words out the first time. It's like we assume our children know what we're thinking. We know. But, you know, we might only express our love as a reward for certain types of behavior. You know, our you know, like graduation. You know, like we celebrated. Or, for, you know, if our children are acting up, we might express it in a different way. In fact, you know, sometimes our Heavenly Father disciplines us because He loves us. You know, no, we might express our love, but it goes something like this. I've written a few things down. He says, honey, if you're good, I'll take you to McDonald's and buy you something. Or I'll take you to Walmart and buy you something, if you're good. So our children grow up with the idea that our love for them is conditional. Sometimes, if we're not careful, it will also teach them that if they act up long enough, they'll get McDonald's or something from McDonald's. Follow me here. I don't want to get off path here. You know, we have to show our feelings, and that's sometimes hard to do. That's my point. They can't read our actions all the time. They can't hear what we're thinking. They can only hear what we say, and that's why it's so important for us fathers to express our love to our children just the way our Heavenly Father does to us. Our Heavenly Father expresses His love to us time and time again in many different ways. And when we look at the Scripture, even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had sinned, God took care of them. He made clothes for them and covered them. He still loved them. Throughout the Scripture, God affirms His love for us, and we know He loves us because He says in Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 13 and 23, 5 and 2 Chronicles 9, 8 and in Isaiah 43, 4 and countless other Psalms. I could quote all these, but He tells us how much He loves us. God tells us He loves us and He shows us His love, and His ultimate act of love was sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sins. And maybe your father didn't know how to express His love to you, but, and if so, you can be sure. I regret times, but I don't make the mistakes of transferring. What I'm trying to say is, don't make the mistakes of transferring what your father did to you to your kids today. You know, sometimes we're weak. God loves you unconditionally, and we should love our kids unconditionally. He said so, and He backs up His words with actions. Regardless of relationship you have with your earthly father, you can have a personal heart-to-heart relationship with your Heavenly Father. And He loves you unconditionally. Just because you're you, just because you're His. That's what a father does. He loves his children. And I want to say, dads, don't forget. Don't forget to show your children how much you love them. And don't forget to say those words, I love you. It's important. Secondly, a father gives to his children. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. What did God give us? His Son. He sent Jesus into this world to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven and live with him forever. Wow, what a give. What a present. He didn't do that because he disliked us. He did that because he loved us. Exactly who we were. No matter what we did, no matter what we have done, he still died for you. He still gave his Son for you. What has God given me? I've heard people say that. What's God ever done for me? I just say, look around. Look all around. A lot of time we focus on what we don't have and fail to see what we do have. You know, there's a lot of things I could say I want, but I don't really need them. I can just look around and say, you know, I got two beautiful kids, different in many ways, but they're good kids. I got a beautiful wife. That's a lot to look at right there for me. Amen. God loves you unconditionally, and he said so, and he backs it up with his words and with his actions, and regardless of relationship, of the relationship that you have with your earthly father, remember that you can have that personal relationship with him. He has given us our homes, our parents, our skills, our talents, our intellect. He gives us sunshine and rain and warm weather and cold weather and beautiful flowers and trees and a wonderful decorated landscape. He gives us birds to sing. He gives us animals and insects to clean up after us. And he put a hole in the atmosphere to give us, to get rid of all the toxins that are in the air. He made such a complex world that we live in, and he did that because he loves us. And sometimes we just need to look around and say, you know, look at what God has given us. He meets our needs and he answers our prayers. He tackles our problems too. Our God is a giving God. He's blessed me many times over and over. If you're a father, there are two things that you need to give your children. Your money and your time. It's hard not to give when your daughter sits there and looks at you and says, Daddy, I remember. And she still does it, you know. Daddy, I'd really like to have that. That's hard not to say yes, isn't it? I mean, it just like melts your heart, right? Our Heavenly Father's the same way. He wants us to have. He wants to give us. Both are important. And an abundance of one doesn't negate the need for the other. And your children need to provide for themselves. We got to provide for them, and they need for you to be there also for emotionally. This is hard for me to preach this morning, you know, without getting all choked up. There's a story about a single guy who was visiting his married friend, and the married man had a little boy who was playing on the floor in front of them, and while they talked. As they talked, the married man made an odd comment. He pointed to his son and said, well, there goes my chance forever having a new boat. And as soon as I get the hospital bill paid for, he'll need braces. And then by that time, I get those paid by the time I get those paid for, he'll want a car. And when that's paid for, it'll be time for college. And by the time that's paid for, I'll be too old to want a boat. What was he saying? Being a father requires a sacrifice. Sometimes we have to give up things that we want to make sure the family has what they need. You know, there are some things in life that we have to do without because we have a greater obligation to provide for our children. And as a father, there are sacrifices that I put myself, I say we in that, not just you, but we have to make. In fact, I know a lot of you have made those sacrifices in your life. You know what I'm talking about. They're part of the job description and a part of, it's also a part of joy being a father, because a lot of times when we sacrifice stuff, we get to see our children happy. And that means everything. You know, your children may never really fully understand how much sacrifice that you give them until they become parents, fathers, mothers. And I think that's the way it should be. A father gives to his children. He gives time and he gives money. Both are essential, and we have to be diligent to maintain a delicate balance with that as well. I know that I have in my life found myself working too much and spending all my time working, trying to meet the needs of the family, and yet my kids suffer for it because I'm not there in their life, being a part of their life, and that can happen. So there's this delicate balance that we have to maintain of spending time with our kids and taking care of their needs, you know. And it's not easy sometimes, because I know that life has many trials and challenges. And I understand those challenges. I've been down some pretty tough roads before in my life. There's times where I had to just buckle down and work. And it was hard because I couldn't spend the time with my kids that I needed to. So I say, be cautious of that delicate balance. But our children, they need their father. They need that to be more than sometimes than just a provider. They need him to be emotionally available. You know, your heavenly Father is always available. He's always available, and we should be too. We should always be available. You can call on your Heavenly Father anytime. And we should be that for our children as well. You can talk to them. You can talk to your Heavenly Father about troubles and your fears and your dreams, and He'll listen. I think it's important as fathers that we do that as well. Thirdly, a father has expectations for his children. He does. In John 3:16, there again it says, God's plan of salvation. That's his expectation. I want my kids to be saved. Amen. I want my kids to go to heaven. Amen. I want my daughter to be a doctor. Will it happen? I don't know. It shows us what He does for us. He gave His Son so that we could be saved, and it shows us what He expects from us, that whoever believes in Him is what He expects. We have a role to play in our own salvation. Dads, your kids are watching everything that you do. He doesn't expect more than what we can give, but He does expect us to do what we can, and we don't have the capacity to be perfect. We don't. Remember that. We can try. We can do our best. And we can do that when we stay close to the Heavenly Father, we stay in communication with Him, He'll help us through those times. You know, God expects this from us. A good father has certain expectations for his children and certain requirements that must be met. Sometimes those are unreasonable to the kids. They don't understand, but we have certain expectations. We have rules, and, you know, it's the same way, right? Our Heavenly Father, He says, I want you to do this, 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 and this. Doesn't mean I love you less when you mess up, but this is what I expect you to, how I expect you to be. There's a book written by John Grisham, The Testament, and it begins with a story about a man who succeeded in business beyond what most people could imagine. An amazing fortune of $11 billion. And along the way, he married three times and fathered seven children. He provided for all of them financially, but he was emotionally absent as a father from them. He never expected anything from them, and he gave each child, with no strings attached, a gift of $5 million on their 21st birthday. Boy, everybody was thinking, I wish my dad was like that, right? And each child squandered every penny of the money. And eventually, each child wound up deep in debt, resentful of their father, eagerly waiting for him to die so they could collect their share of his will. And though this man was a success in the eyes of the world, he was a failure as a father, and his children paid the price. See, there's this balance of what we do. You know, this story reflects really the truth. I don't know that it's real, but it's similar to the Old Testament story of Eli. Eli was a man of God, a priest who served in the temple. And though he was faithful as a priest, he was a failure as a father. The sons, his two sons, the sons of Eli, had no respect for the law of God, and they defiled the sacrifices. They extorted from those who brought offerings to God, and they slept with women who served in the temple. And Eli knew all about it and all about their behavior, but he did nothing about it. And as a result, God judged Eli, and that's in 1 Samuel 2. You know, a father has a responsibility to set a standard for his children. He must say, this is the way we live, and nothing less is acceptable. You know, I remember, I've told this story before, that I was a product of 20 years of drug abuse. Many of you may not know that about me, but because of that 20 years of drug abuse, I'm here in church today. My mom and dad drugged me to church on Sunday morning, and they drugged me to church on Sunday night, and they drugged me to church on Wednesday night. So I took drugs for all those years. But it left an example to me is the importance of what church was. It was important, and even though maybe in my life at times it wasn't so important, but it was always there in the back of my mind. I knew that it was something important to do. And one day when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and brought me to my knees, I started to realize really how important it was. So even though sometimes your kids don't want to go to church, even though sometimes they fight you and you have to drag them basically to go, keep dragging them. Keep taking them. Because they'll understand someday the importance. I know I'm not alone in that. Amen. You know, it's the father's responsibility to lead by example. So I say to you fathers, and I know we have some great fathers here, lead by example. You want your kids to go to church, then you need to go to church. Amen. You want your kids to have a good relationship with the father, then you need to have a good relationship with the father. You want your kids to have a good prayer life, then they need to see you pray. You want your kids to have a good praise life, then they need to see you praise and worship. Come on now. We lead by example. You want to see your kids be humble and respectful, then you must be humble and respectful. A father's attitude must be, do as I do, not just as I say. Speaks a lot, doesn't it? You know, Joshua in the Bible set an example for all the fathers when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That's what I say to you this morning. For me and my house, I want my kids to grow up in church. I want my kids to, whenever they leave the house, I want them to know that is an important place to be. That having a relationship with Jesus Christ is an important thing. It is essential for your life. If that's the only thing that they ever learned from me, that's the most important thing. I never want to be a father who demands more than what they can produce or give. Just like our Heavenly Father, He doesn't expect us to give more than what we possibly can give. And finally, the fourth thing I got out of this scripture this morning was a father prepares his child for the future. And Jesus said that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God has created a great future. Amen. God has created a great future for you and me. And He is offering us eternal life. And He doesn't want us to spend eternity without Him. He wants us to live in His presence forever. And He provides a way to make that happen. And He did this by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on a cross for our sins. And when we put our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. And God gives us eternal life. Amen. I want my kids to know that. You know, Christianity isn't about a man finding his own way to God. It's about God reaching out to us through His Son. And God had a vision for your future. He did. You know, Scripture says that before you were even in the womb, before you were created in the womb, He knew you. Man, and I can remember when I found out that I was going to have a kid, that love just started automatically. Bam. I could think about what I wanted for my kids. I wanted to do this. I want them to be this. I want them to be that. You know, our Heavenly Father, He wants us to have a future spent in heaven with Him forever. And He provided a way for you and I, for our kids, in the same way. And earthly fathers need to do what they can do to direct the future of their children in a way that will most benefit the child. I say this kind of cautiously because we all know examples of fathers who go overboard, who go beyond. And we have to, there again, I say there's a balance. Being a father is not easy. We're all different, aren't we? None of our kids are the same. none of our stories are the same. We may have similar things that happen to us in life, but we all go through different things. We have to meet those challenges in the best that we can, but I can tell you today that those challenges are so much easier when we have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, a father should be one to help his children prepare spiritually for the future by bringing them up in a Christian atmosphere. I say this again. Encouraging them to be involved in church and challenging them to grow in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just as I talked about the 20 years of drug abuse. A father should also help his child prepare for future in a career or whatever they want to do. He should help his children identify their gifts and skills and interests and help them discover the career that's best for them. It's not always what's best for me. Like I said before, I would like to see my daughter become a doctor, but that may not be what she is gifted to do. It may not be what God has for her, because I know God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. I want to say something about single parents, single moms. That's a hard thing to do. You have to be both father and mother. That's hard. And I commend you for that if you're here or listening. Being a mom is hard. I don't want to leave you guys out. You share the same burdens as a father does a lot. Father should encourage his children to pursue their dreams. He should help them prepare for challenges they will face. Father should also help his children prepare for developing relationships. Father should teach his children to be kind. We have big roles, don't we? There again, I say lead by example. Most of all, I want to say this. We have to be the father that we want our kids to be. We have to show them not only with our relationship with our spouse, which builds good, shows them what kind of relationship they should expect. The good, the bad, the ugly, right? Huh? But we do lead by example. I'm going to finish up here. And God gives us a blueprint for fatherhood because He is the perfect Father and He loves us. He gives to us. He expects us to follow Him and He prepares a future for us. You know, we can be a father that is gentle and loving and caring. I think that's what God wants from us. He loves you and He will help you experience fulfillment in your life with your children. Put your faith in Him this morning. Stay close to Him. Let Him guide and direct you and become the perfect father that He wants you to be. He leaves us a perfect example. Put your faith in Him and trust Him. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, Lord. And I know, Lord, I just ask right now that, Lord, I know I haven't been a perfect father, Lord, but I know that I serve the perfect Father. And I use You as an example, Lord, and I want to become that. So I strive for that, to be just like You. So, Lord, I put a special blessing out, Lord, this morning, Lord. I just ask for you to be, just fall upon each and every father that's here this morning, Lord, and encourage them, give them strength, open up their hearts, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit work daily in their lives so that they can become the father that they need to be. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Thank you again for giving us a beautiful day to praise and worship you. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.